Hello, it is us, talking about the book, Boba Fett, Chapter 6, and man,
it's the book of Star Wars.
I don't even look at Boba Fett anymore. That is the question, and that is what we're here to talk about. Anyways, I am your host, Brayden Ledbetter.
I'm your co-host, Jackson Deline.
Jackson, what an episode.
What an episode.
So we're kind of here a little bit speechless
because
this episode did a lot, and there is so much to dig into, a lot to talk about, and that's exactly what we are here to do. So Jackson, kind of starting off, a little general thoughts, what's kind of your overall thoughts about this episode? And anybody watching, this is full spoiler. We're getting deep into spoilers. We're going to be
big spoilers,
stills and images, so just be warned. If you have not seen the episode, do not watch this because you do not want this episode to be spoiled. But anyway, some of your overall thoughts about this episode, Jackson.
I initially thought this episode was either going to be all like Jedi stuff or more like involving the plot with Boba Fett. I kind of pictured it would be like maybe like a little bit, and I'm glad we got like half and half with it. But I really liked the first scene introducing with Cobb Vanth, and loved his little figure it out. Like, I loved that. Just I thought that was a really, really good scene. That totally got me into the groove of the episode, because I see a lot of like discourse from the show on Twitter, and I feel like it's kind of a smaller handful of people who are really having fun with this show. But I'm also seeing people who just absolutely love it. And I'm glad about that. And I saw some stuff on Twitter that was talking about it, and it was like, this show can't figure out what it's doing. And it's like, yeah, but like, whatever. Like, it has like a plot. Like, it's got its story.
I wouldn't even agree with that.
I wouldn't say this is like, it's not a mess. Like, it's not a messy show. Like, its story is very congruent. Like, it's telling a great story. I think it's been really doing well at that.
It would be one thing if, you know, there were characters popping in just to like say hi and then they're gone and have nothing to do with the story. But like, it's, you're putting in these moments and storylines that are integral to the main plot of this show that's happening. And, you know,
I think they could have could have done that with Boba still in the scene. But like,
yeah, I mean, they
like, it's not like a problem. It's not. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's the book of Boba Fett, and we've gotten we've gotten less than his original trilogy screen time in the last two episodes.
Yeah, and but I mean, if that's the way it's meant to be, that's the way it's meant to be for this show.
I expect absolute chaos for the last episode.
Yeah, we just got to let them tell their story, and I think we're in for something really, really cool. I think I'm echoing your overall thoughts, because I really, really dug this episode. I'm really not one of those people who like sees Dave Filoni as like this big savior of Star Wars, because I really don't think Star Wars needed saving. You're not going to see me tweeting like that picture of Dave Filoni's head floating in the sky or anything like that. But I do really, really respect him as a Star Wars creator and director, and he's done a lot for the franchise, and he's obviously like the Padawan to George Lucas. So brilliant. I really, really love Filoni. So I'm not surprised that this episode turned out and was received as well as it was. But with all that out of the way, let's kind of go kind of point by point here throughout this episode. And we're going to be throwing up some stills here of the episode as well, we're to guide our discussion. But kind of opening up here, we quickly get introduced, not really introduced, but we're back with another character. We open up with these Pikes raiding, not really raiding, but they're here on Tatooine talking about their spice and the credits they got from all their spice. And we get this lad showing back up for the first time since Mando season 2. What was your reaction to seeing Cobb Vanth for the first time here?
I wish he had a jacket or a vest.
Yeah.
No, I got... you know, I'll say this. I get that like deep sinking feeling when I get really excited about something, and it's like I got that a couple times this episode, but this was the first one. It was getting that and being like, oh, I'd be like, oh yeah. Like I honestly, truthfully did not expect Cobb Vanth to show back up in this show.
I didn't either. I thought it was going to be, if he did show up again, it would have been Mando season three.
Yeah. And but I think really they're going to, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm really glad they chose now to bring him in.
Yes. Yeah.
For undisclosed reasons so far.
Yeah. Right. No, I definitely agree. I think he's going to end up becoming part of Mando's creed.
You think so?
I think he's going to get like his own set of armor and he'll be like part of the bros.
You think Cobb Vanth?
It's going to be
going to do that.
It's going to be Cobb. Well, we'll talk about it.
Jackson.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it because I may have a different opinion to do.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it. We'll get into it. But
people are like, what the hell?
I didn't know where you were going with that, but I'm interested to see what you think later on. But I think it's a really cool opening show. I really like his attitude towards the Pikes. It's very,
yeah.
I like it out. I like Marshall Cobb Vanth.
Yeah, it's literally.
Really cool. And just this, I think this is the first time. Is this one of the first times we've seen Spice live action, like seen physical Spice?
I would assume that it's in Solo.
Do we see the Spice in Solo? I can't remember.
I don't know specifically if we did, but if they did, it would be more like, you know, shots. Like if they just something simple. Simple. I don't think it was ever like a big piece.
Something sinful.
Sinful.
Yeah, I thought that was cool to see like the golden grains of Spice in that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love how quippy Timothy Oliphant plays Cobb Vanth.
He's great. Love that style of character too.
Oh yeah.
He's great at that.
And then we cut to bigger canon junkies than I will probably know what planet this is that Mando ends up on here in the beginning of the episode in search of the little guy. But this shot inside of the Naboo N1 starfighter is so cool. And they use the shot a few times. It's like very wide angle. It's like low angle and just like it just looks badass. I thought this was really cool. And for a second, I didn't pick up on the fact that this is where, like, this is why he was here. Like for a split second, I was like, I wonder what he's doing. Oh yeah, because I saw this shot. I saw the shot of R2. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what he's doing here. What did you think of the return of R2 here?
I expected this episode to show us Luke and R2. So this was one that I was like, all right, like, cool. I'm glad my suspicions are confirmed. Mm-hmm. No, it was cool. It was nice. I love seeing R2 action. I like seeing Mando interact with him. Like he was kind of kind, but he was still confused.
It's funny because Mando was kind of like, yeah, where's Skywalker and the little one? He's like, well, no, I'll take you there. Yeah, we might make a pit stop along the way, but I'll take you there. And
then question is does Boba know that it's Skywalker who has Grogu? Does Boba know that like the reason he held off was to go see Skywalker? How did Mando learn Skywalker's name? He maybe talked about it and someone was like, oh, that's Luke Skywalker talking about
it. I think he says it in the end of that episode of season two.
He just says, are you Jedi? I am.
Oh, I thought he said I'm Luke Skywalker.
I won't let you take him. That's not your choice. Hmm. You know? Yeah, he doesn't. He never says it.
I never thought about that. I don't know. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think I would expect Mando to learn it from like word of mouth because I would assume a lot of people know who Luke Skywalker is.
Yeah.
But I want to know if Boba knows.
Yeah, I don't know how important it is for Boba to know. Although, you know, who's to say at this point? But we land here with Mando and R2, and we see they're going through the woods, and they're at this like this opening of these little ant droids or whatever you want to call them, building what becomes the first new Jedi temple for Luke's training school. Did you pick up on this when the first time you saw it? Did you pick up on this exactly what it was?
Yeah, I read when it once it got to that shape, I understood that it was like we were on the planet from Rise of Kylo Ren and all that. Or that he trained him. I'm trying to figure out what this planet's name is.
Yeah, I tried looking it up earlier, but I could not find it.
It's only the legends was that it was on Yavin. It was Yavin 4.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've ever... Do they even talk about it in... Hold on. Anyway, we'll keep talking. I'll tell you when I find it.
Yeah. But I think it's really interesting that... Like that's kind of how structures are built like in Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
It's just these little droids collecting rocks in the forest and coming to build something. I thought that's like really cool to me that like there's like these architectural droids building stuff for Luke. And might I say Luke Skywalker has a great taste in planets. Like he knows the good planets to hang out on. He never goes back to tattooing. He
wants to be so far away from dry open sand.
Yeah.
He would have loved Alderaan.
Yeah. And then I didn't think they would show Luke and Grogu until Mando comes in contact with them. But they make an interesting choice to just cut away to them. When they're there, which I thought I was just like, that's interesting that they would just like, they wouldn't lead us up to that. They just boom, we're with them now, which I thought that was really cool. But one thing I did want to say is whenever we do see Luke again for the first time, it's Luke and Grogu. They're kind of meditating. We see Luke and holy cow, does this look so much better?
Yeah, I agree.
So much better than it did in Mando season 2. Like, you know, they hired that YouTube guy for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this was the reason, because this looks at times I was like, this just looks like Mark Hamill. This doesn't even seem like
his first shots. I definitely agree. My problem with this CGI Luke is that his face looks different in almost every scene that he's in. Like, there are just like specific features about him that they kind of like, I don't think they perfectly replicated. I also think his hair looks like a Lego piece, not in this shot, but in later scenes when he's moving around and when he's walking with Grogu, which, by the way, I loved how he just carried him along with the Force.
I know that was great.
Lifted him. I felt his hair is where it really lacked. I agree. His face, spectacular.
I don't think the hair bothered me though. Like, it wasn't like, oh, like, this shot is great, but the stupid hair.
It was enough for me that I noticed it. And I was just kind of like, okay, like, oh, like that's where it is. And I was looking to be fair. I was definitely looking for it, but, I thought they made his movements look really good. I thought that, they were able to kind of place him into scenes and it matched really well. I thought his audio was kind of crappy.
I think we learned in that one Mando season 2 kind of behind the scenes thing, we learned that like the voice isn't actually Mark Hamill's voice. It's right. Like a robot, and they like found it like every single Mark Hamill voice clip they could find and like made like this algorithm learn it, and they're like inputting the lines into a computer, and the computer is spitting out old like 70s Mark Hamill voice
Very much sounds like a recording on top of the like scene layout. That's kind of more what I meant, was the blending, because there'd be scenes where Grogu and you can kind of hear him against like the leaves and the trees, and then it was like Mark Hamill's perfect voice.
Yeah, it didn't to you. Really blend into the environment as much as I think it could have, but I mean, that's again nothing that
not a deal breaker. Yeah, it was still like,
my suspension of disbelief is now gone.
It wasn't.
I never had that moment.
Things I noticed with it, yeah, for sure.
But I love the scene when we first meet him and they're meditating there, and Grogu sees the frog and he like pulls it toward him. And Luke's like, Grogu, he pulls up like 1,000 of those one-eyed frogs. He's like, don't have one frog, have many frogs.
Well, I love Luke's lesson of like, see how strong you can become in the Force, and then you can eat all the frogs.
Yeah, I think that was just funny of like, this is how I can get through to him.
Yeah, you know? They can put them all in order.
And then, you know, they're taking that like walk through the woods, and he's talking about how, you know, he kind of reiterates that there was a master that looked like him named Yoda, and he spoke weird riddles and stuff.
Do you think, I would assume Grogu knew Yoda. Everybody knows Yoda. It's Yoda. That's kind of the thing in the High Republic that they're showing too, is that like, even if they never met him, everybody knows Yoda.
Yeah.
So like,
but I wonder if, because at this time, at the Order 66-ish time,
Grogu's got PTSD.
Well, yeah, that is even true. Then around that time, Yoda was in, you know, over in freaking Kashyyyk doing his stuff. So do you think, like, whenever you're an infant, you probably don't remember a lot of things from when you're an infant?
I guess that's true, because like, it's only, he had only been like, what, 20 something years old
back then? Yeah, I would be like, in like, and Luke even says later on, he says a short time for you is a lifetime for someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important quote, by the way. And there's a reason why I think that's going to come into play a lot, with Grogu's life.
Yeah.
And we're going to see that going forward. But I think we get a great, speaking of kind of this flashback we get, I want to show everybody this while we talk about it, because holy cow, I was like, this is what a live action Clone Wars could look like.
Yeah, right.
I mean, look, this looks like it's straight out of Revenge of the Sith. That's so cool.
Yeah, I thought the clones looked great. It totally gave me the Revenge of the Sith vibe.
Yeah, and I am suspicious that they used they just went straight up CGI clone troopers again. Yeah. Which is fine. I think it keeps up with our headcanon of this is how clone troopers look like.
Do we animated beings?
Yeah. But do we have the identities of any of these three Jedis yet? Or is it just these are just some three Jedi?
No, I think they're just three Jedi. I'll do a quick search. On the planet thing, it's not known.
Oh, interesting. Okay. But this kind of begs the question, how do you think Grogu got off Coruscant?
That's what I'm wondering, and I hope they answer this, because this left off on that same cliffhanger of because the clones kind of rush him and whatever, but like, I don't know.
There had to have been somebody who saw him and like protected him for 30 years.
I think what we're going to be learning is that Grogu's memory is really like faded right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, you know, this flashback, Luke helped him get to it, but he makes a comment to, we haven't said her name, but Ahsoka, spoilers, whatever.
This is a spoiler review.
Yeah, right. He makes he says something to Ahsoka where he's like, his memory is coming back. It's more like he's remembering, you know, I show him something and then he's got it. So I wonder if he continues his Jedi training, will he kind of get more of his memory back and understand things that happened and where he's been? How does he end up in some place on what's the sand planet where Mando finds him, you know?
Yeah. What if we get the Book of Grogu coming next spring?
I'll tell you, it was kind of funny watching him jump around when he's training with the ball.
Yeah.
Very Revenge of the Sith reminiscent of how like that species kind of moves. And like, I remember seeing Yoda jump like that and being like, oh, like that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And before we get to that,
that was a jump.
No, it's okay. But I don't want to like skip forward some really important stuff, just like this. So I kind of yelped a little bit whenever I saw Ahsoka sitting there.
I was like,
wait, hold on. This is, we're getting Ahsoka too? Like, what's going on here? What is she doing here? I didn't expect this at all either. And something that kind of stuck out to me was the fact that we have not seen Ahsoka and Luke interact on screen yet. Like, we don't even, we didn't even know if Ahsoka knew Luke yet at this point in time. So I thought this was like a big revelation of, oh my God, Ahsoka and Luke are working together already. And I think that is confirmed, but she kind of talks about how she kind of explains to Din, like, this is this is the new temple that Luke is building. It's gonna be like the first new Jedi academy. Grogu will be the first student.
I thought that was really cool that, like, Grogu is the first student. Like, this is we'll see.
The first student. I think that's what makes the ending of this episode really fun. But and then they kind of go on this walk in the forest, and she assures him that there is no safer place in the galaxy for Grogu than on this planet with Luke. And that's, I think that's also, that is her assuring Din. I feel like that's also her assuring the audience that, don't worry, Grogu is safe in our hands, you know? And Din kind of explains that, you know, he's just here to just check on him and give him
this. She calls him out. It's like, are you here for him?
Yeah, and I think that this is actually a really important thing that she says to Din is, are you doing this for Grogu or are you doing this for yourself? And he has to kind of step back and be like,
it's kind of the first time someone's pointed out
to, you know, what? Maybe I am doing this for myself, because she kind of reiterates that, like, you seeing him would make his life a lot more difficult.
Much harder.
Like, this is, like, you're just basically a burden right now to him because he's already missing you. He's already very attached to you, and he needs to be in this place of kind of the, like, connecting with the Force and focusing on that and not focusing on, man, I miss Daddy, you know?
Father, help.
And then Din, like, tries to, like, defend, like, yeah, he's a foundling, like, I found him and I just need to give him it's a Mandalorian thing. He's probably a Padawan now because he's training with Luke. And I was like, man, Ahsoka going hard. And then this is a testament to whoever is behind the mask. We don't know if this is Pedro or not, but this is a testament to their acting, because I felt how broken Din got as soon as he realized that it's not the best idea that he goes to see Grogu, and he kind of comes to terms with, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do this. And then we get that really, really sad shot of Din and his N1 flying away, and we just see Grogu stand up like, no. I was like, dude, I didn't know that they could make a little puppet / CGI little guy.
Little man.
Be so cute and, like, make me feel for him so much. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this was, I think, a highlight of the episode for me. And I was watching this by myself, but I verbally said, oh, my God, this is so cool. Whenever this scene happened,
I know,
the Empire Dagobah training sequence, but with Grogu instead of Yoda, I was like, this is the coolest thing I have seen on screen in a long time. Man, I was, like, starting to get teary-eyed a little bit. I was like, this is freaking insane, dude, look at this. What was your reaction when you saw this sequence?
I didn't realize it. Like, I was like, oh, they're going for a run, that's cute. And then he did the flip, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I think, like, and then the music. Cool. I want to talk about the music for a second.
Callback. Yeah.
There's a Force theme callback. There was, like, a lot of really great new themes too in this episode that I was like, wow, that's great. Yeah,
I agree.
I love the music in this episode. But yeah, this whole, he's kind of teaching Grogu, like, there is a balance in the Force in everything. And, like, you have to reach out and feel it and contain it. Like, it's something, like, it almost feels a lot like the way he's teaching Rey. Like, it kind of, I feel like it echoes that a little bit, at least to me, which is, you know, really cool. But
which I understand, because that's kind of what Obi-Wan was all about, was, like, it's the energy that surrounds us, you know, whereas you know, Obi-Wan's time of growing up, it was a very scientific time, so, like, they could explain midichlorians and understanding how much someone can access it. But it's like, he's teaching people who he just kind of knows has it, and just to see how far they can go, but to connect it themselves, you know. rather than like, you can do this and we'll make sure you can, rather than Luke being like, no, like you have to understand that you can. He's I liked the do not try callback where he's
yeah,
like, don't try, do.
Yeah, I thought that's such a good lesson too. Like,
absolutely,
not even just like haha funny Star Wars callback, but just like in general of like, yeah. Just if you're if you're trying at something, but you like know you can do it, then just do it. Don't try. Just do it. And you'd be surprised at like how effortless it can be. And another thing I wanted to talk about before we kind of move on is how cute Grogu's little jumps are.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to see you jump. He just becomes like,
you could do better than that. The
Pikachu
on.
Meme of what? Huh? I don't know how to jump. I thought that was really fun. And obviously the sequence with Luke finally pulling out his lightsaber and showing Grogu really what cool. what can happen with a lightsaber. I mean, this is something that's straight out of Return of the Jedi. Look at that. That looks like it's a still straight out of Return of the Jedi, dude. This is insane that we live in a time where 1983 Mark Hamill is still here.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I used to be really, really on the fence about like, I've been pretty vocal on this show about like, I don't know if we need a Luke Skywalker series. I think they could do it. Seeing this, I think they could do it.
Do you think he'll be in the Ahsoka show?
I wouldn't count against it.
Yeah,
I would say that it is now more likely for him to be in it than he was yesterday.
Yeah, that is very true.
I think that they're finally finding a really great middle ground for Luke's look that I think is going to only improve and develop as technology develops and as they get more people to like research this whole deep fake thing. And like, it's going to get to a point where you literally cannot tell if it's actually, you know, footage from Return of the Jedi or if deep fake. It's going to get to that point. I think give it 10, 15 years. We will have
we don't need actors anymore.
We will have an Adventures of Luke Skywalker show on Disney Plus at some point. I guarantee it. I just think I think it looks so freaking good. And there were some moments I know where the mouth looked kind of weird when he was talking, or you know, like the lighting was just like a little bit off on his face, but it didn't bother me. I completely suspended my disbelief. Which is what you want. And then we obviously, you know, have the return of the old Marksman H combat remote.
Training ball.
I love whenever this gets brought back. It's been brought back so many times in new canon. And it's just so like, hey, it's the ball from A New Hope. Like every time. What did you think about the whole sequence with the training remote? And also, what do you think about this line that Luke says that really stuck with me of how like Grogu keeps getting shot by it and falling back. And Luke says, always get back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I needed to hear from Luke.
And he's really hammering that in too.
Yeah.
Like he kind of understands that is the important point of it all. And Grogu gets it right away. He's able to jump, you know, like you, like Revenge of the Sith Yoda. It leaps. He's a little frog.
Mm-hmm.
When the training ball shot him, I was like, he's small. Like, he's going to end up, like, getting shot.
He's going to, like, die.
He's going to die.
Yeah. I think that sequence is all really fun. And what really kind of spoke to me is when we get to that moment where, like, he's out on the rocks in the water and you know, he's doing all this balancing work. And we cut and we see freaking Ahsoka walking up to Luke. And this is the first time, because we've seen like all this fan art of like Ahsoka and Luke interacting and talking about Anakin together. And here they are. I would only think we would see this shot in fan art until right now. Like, it's insane that we live in a time where we get to see Ahsoka and Luke Skywalker on screen.
I thought it was really cool how what we saw was not their first interaction. You know,
know each other.
They had, they got to know each other better. And I like seeing this, like, this like Luke understands, you know, it's like he, and I wonder if he, I thought this while watching it, is that Luke knowing Ahsoka is really important for Last Jedi Luke, because it makes him leaving and like deciding against the Jedi Order like a lot more sense, you know, like he's had, it's not just him, his own kind of faulties and hubris about it that like weren't the only thing about it. It's like he's seen other instances about it. Mm-hmm. And I bet you Ahsoka's the one who told him all about like the fall of the Jedi Order and was just kind of like, here's what Darth Sidious did and here's what happened to your dad. And that's kind of how I pictured it, is that they meet. She's like, listen, like I loved her line to Mando. I'm a longtime friend of the family.
Yeah.
Love that. And I was, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love the line where Luke is kind of like, sometimes I wonder if his heart is even in it. And Ahsoka says, so much like your father.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Yes, yes. All of the yes.
And you know what? When he turned and looked at her, I saw Hayden in that look. And I was like, whoa. I was like, wow, that was cool.
Yeah, man. This is such a magical little scene.
Yeah.
And like you said, this line that Luke has early, we mentioned earlier, of it's more like he's remembering than I'm actually teaching him anything. I mean, I think I can't tell, but I think Grogu might be a little burnt out on the Jedi Force stuff. What do you think?
He's got PTSD.
You think that's what it is?
I think it's like PTSD, is that he's been like dormant, and I bet you his connection to the Force has been really severed. So he regains it by kind of appreciating something like with Mando, and then Luke finds him and is trying to kind of access all of that. And I think as Grogu learns in some way more, he's going to realize he's much more powerful than I think he realizes.
Yeah. It's hard to say, because I think Grogu kind of has this love-hate relationship with the Jedi and the Force. Yeah. Because at this point, the only Jedi he really remembers is Ahsoka and Luke.
Yeah.
And then the only other memory he has of Jedi and anything like that is Order 66 attack, of being completely attacked and demolished by the stormtroopers, and like watching these Jedi die in front of him.
Yeah,
I would be kind of skeptical about whether it's smart to move forward as a Jedi or not too. And it's just weird to think of that, like, because we just see him as this little baby. We don't really see him as like this.
I thought that as well. I was like,
how we don't really see be? Like see him as this 50-year-old man, essentially.
I thought a green robot.
Yeah, it's so weird that like this little thing is so like intellectually developed.
Yeah,
It's crazy. But kind of moving on from there, we cut back to Mando landing on Tatooine, over on you know, Boba's big fortress now, and we get a Boba Fett cameo in the Book of Boba Fett. and you know, go ahead.
Point of this scene that I want to point out.
Go for it.
Why do people refer to Din Djarin as the Mandalorian?
I think because he was a lot of people's, like, he didn't have a name. Like he never went up to people and was like, hello, I am Din Djarin.
I guess that's fair. He's just like, I'm the Mandalorian.
So it's like, what do we call him? Has Mandalorian armor. So it's like,
but now they know his name. I mean, Fennec knows his name. Fennec wasn't there when Moff Gideon publicized it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know either. Then we got the crew, we got the mods, we got
I gotta tell you, I want to see Krisantan and Mando back to back.
Dude, I want to see Krisantan, Mando, Boba Fett, Fennec. I think we're gonna get like a nice
Avengers shot where it's gonna battle. Circle around.
Gonna be tough. Give me all of that. And you know, Fennec kind of says, hey yo, we got the muscle, but we just don't have the numbers. And Mando's like, I know a guy.
I know who can do that.
And we land in Freetown.
Freetown! I screamed. I yelled it so loud.
And then we got freaking, like, I don't know, like some Luke Combs looking dude.
Yeah, I was like, who is this guy?
He didn't feel very Star Wars to me, but I was like, whatever, man. Like, what even is Star Wars at this point? But he's kind of walking about like, you can't park your starfighter there. And he's like, kind of annoying. I was like, oh no, it's gonna be like this pretentious, like, hey Mando guy from season one. And like, it's just gonna be kind of annoying. And then I'm glad that Cobb Vanth like stepped in and was like out of nowhere. He just like Chris Angel'd his way in there. Yeah, it was weird.
Mind freak.
Yeah.
Do you like that mind freak I just did on you? Let's go have a drink.
Yeah. You're like, can I buy you a drink? Yeah. And you know, we get this conversation between Cobb Vanth and Mando and that freaking that Weequay behind the bar.
Yeah.
That guy is so like, he feels so just like American bartender.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what they're going for.
Speaking for the people.
Yeah. What did you think about this whole bar scene with Cobb Vanth and Mando?
Cobb has, I think, my favorite line in this episode of that's what I like about you, Mando, and that big smile of yours. Charismatic.
Yeah. That's just great. The way Timothy Oliphant plays him. I think it's so cool.
Brilliant. No, I thought this was really good. I like kind of seeing this be a legitimate like struggle for Cobb and being like, I'll see what I can do, but no promises. And he ends up, you know, let's have a meeting about it. He wants to talk to his people. But
so they're gonna want to know what I have to say, trust me.
Yeah, right. No, and I think continuing events will end up swaying these people's opinions. You want to talk about that scene now?
Yeah,
you want to get down dirty.
We're about to have this town meeting, and everyone is kind of being called in, and then he's like, wait a second. Everybody, can you guys go ahead and get in your house? Oh my god. Get in your little houses for a second. I gotta see what this guy's doing. And there's
let me see, a strange man in the distances.
You see like a silhouette walking towards the town in the distance. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's not Cad Bane. That can't be Cad Bane.
I thought it was the Tusken Warrior at first. I was waiting for a twist of, oh, the Pikes are using the Tusken Warrior as a hitman. And then I saw the cowboy hat.
I saw the cowboy hat right away. And I was like, this is Cad Bane, but it can't be Cad Bane. Like, they didn't even, like, how are they going to be Cad Bane? It can't be Cad Bane. And then little did I know, we see the boots come in. I was like, oh, this is definitely Cad Bane, isn't it? And then we get like a sick like camera move. It comes up. Do you have
the first reveal of him where it's like his?
I don't have the first reveal, but I think that was the perfect way. The perfect way to introduce us to live action Cad Bane is we just get the brim of the hat with the
mouth. He's got a smaller hat. What happened to his big one?
Because the brim of like the animated one is like 5 feet on each side, like it's comically big.
He lost like a fight in the Bad Batch,
like the Dimmadome guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's why they went more sizable for the hat, because it would have been comically big if it was like the animated hat.
I hate knowing that that's just more of like a creative choice in the animation shows rather than has a really big hat.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, with Ahsoka and her like montrals, they're not as long as they should be.
CGI clones.
I wonder if Togruta's can like get a haircut, just cut off their mouth. But dude, what was your reaction to seeing Cad Bane in full force for the first time?
Can you pull him up? All right, I thought his head was too like short. I thought he kind of had a smaller head than like what he like. Now I say that it's not bad. I justified it in the way that we just said of how like this is just what it really looks like. Mm-hmm. So it was a little jarring to see it. he do got some buck teeth.
I know, dude. That's the first thing I noticed is that's not Cad Bane's teeth. I was like, he does not have sharp teeth.
Is this a practical costume?
I think it is. I think it is. The only thing that might be CGI about it is the eyes.
Yeah.
But I think the face is completely practical because it does look kind of rubbery. And like you can see like the big bulge on the face where the person's nose would be. It's just like a bulge is not flat.
Where like I was comparing it to his look in Bad Batch, and it is much kind of more contained and smaller. And yeah, he doesn't have kind of this like he's got like a snout look.
Yeah. And another thing I noticed is that I wish they would have colored his skin a little darker blue.
Yes,
he looks a little pale. I wonder if he's just sick from being in the desert. I don't know.
He's just old.
Maybe like his species just like gets paler as they age. I don't know. But yeah, I had a complete oh my god, this episode is insane moment as soon as I saw this. I remember you were texting me. You're like, dude, Luke and Ahsoka and all these cool people showed up in this episode. I was like, just wait, Jackson. Yeah, this is not something I expected in Book of Boba Fett. Because I remember whenever we were talking about it, I was like, yeah, no chance Cad Bane shows up in this show. It could be possible, but no chance. And I've never been more happy to be wrong about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get the death of Cad Bane in a nice shootout. I'm glad it was done the way it was done, though.
Cobb Vanth.
I'm glad. Did I say Cad Bane?
You said Cad Bane.
Oh yeah, Cad Bane versus Cad Bane. Who's gonna win? I think. Hold on.
Okay, sorry.
I think as soon as I saw that it was Cad Bane against Cobb Vanth, I was like, oh man, Cobb Vanth is gonna die, and he gets shot. What is your theory?
I don't think he's dead.
What do you think?
I think the other dude's hella dead.
He shoot the other dude twice?
He shoots him like six times.
Yeah,
like he unloads the other guy. But he shoots Vanth once and he doesn't walk up to finish it. He just checks and he walks away. And when the people rush him, the lines that played on the like subtitles, they're all talking about like no one's saying that he's dead. No one's like, everyone's right. Get him a doctor. Something's wrong. Someone goes, something's wrong with the sheriff. And I went, I know. I know.
I think he got shot. I can't tell, though.
I don't think Vanth is dead, but it's going to motivate the people to help and fight. And then they're going to be like, hey, you need some armor. I know a crazy lady who's got horns in her helmet.
Oh, dude, what if it like gets to like the climactic scene of the finale and here comes Cobb Vanth kind of like limping in like a sling?
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, so I don't think Vanth is dead. I think he's very wounded, but I don't think he's dead.
Okay.
So final episode. I picture Bane and Boba Fett in a jetpack fight.
Don't give me hope.
It's going to start out. They raid the place. He's got the Rancor. Mando and Kersantan just on the ground with Fennec up top sniping.
You're going to be so disappointed and that doesn't happen now.
Bane pulls up and like goes hard. I bet you they're going to have some kind of twist monster in it. There's going to be like a new villain pulling up. I'm telling you. It's going to go hard. It's going to go now, so hard. When
this doesn't happen, the next week's review is going to be 5 minutes long of just, yeah, it didn't happen. Sorry, guys. But kind of going on to the last few moments of this show, we have, we're back at the sanctuary. The Pikes come in. I kind of expected this is what was going to happen. The entire place just gets obliterated and blown up.
The
biggest thing that I want to know is, did Max Rebo survive?
Okay, so a lot of people have been talking about this, but I thought this as well when we were watching it. They show the band, but Max isn't there.
Ooh, what if he was like,
it's his day off.
He was taking a leak.
Could you imagine, like,
dude, Max was taking a dump in the back.
Got bombed. Two jobs. It's twice now.
Dude, maybe it's Max Rebo that's the problem. Maybe he's just like...
he's the bad luck.
He's bad luck, dude. Yeah, I thought that was really sad. Now, RIP Jennifer Beal.
Jennifer character. Beals, yeah.
Thank God that Chrysanthemum wasn't there. Because that would have been very sad.
He's got more limbs to rip off.
But they kind of leave it on that note of just like, boom, the sanctuary gets blown up and we're cutting to back to Luke and Grogu, which I thought was an interesting thing because that's something they're going to deal with in the finale, I'm sure. Yeah. But we're back with Luke, with Grogu. They're sitting in like the now finished building of the the new Jedi Temple. And I really liked this kind of aspect, but I want to see what you think will happen because Luke gives Grogu this choice of, okay, Mando brought you this. Oh, let's talk about the little chainmail, the little baby Beskar chainmail. I was like, oh, it's like Frodo in his mithril
thing.
I thought that was really cool. And I thought it was going to be like little Beskar balls for him to play with. I didn't know it was going to be like actual armor.
Well, and
whenever I was thinking of armor, I was thinking like Mandalorian armor.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like little shoulder and gauntlets or whatever.
Yeah, I think chainmail makes sense. But he gives Grogu this choice of, okay, here is what Mando gave you, this, but I also have something for you. He pulls out a box and it's freaking Yoda's lightsaber.
Okay,
so are you kidding me?
Here's my question about this. Remember those celebration pictures of Mando and Grogu and Luke? Mm-hmm. And Luke and Grogu's building a lightsaber and it's yellow. He's got a lightsaber.
I don't know if that's like a canon. I think that's just like fan art though. Just, I don't know if that's like
those are official Star Wars images.
Like officially licensed?
Yeah. Those were released by Star Wars. They were like celebration things, I'm pretty sure. But my question is if even if that isn't like the case, like I don't know, like why showcase that? I felt like that's kind of an important thing of Grogu having his own lightsaber. So I thought it was interesting to introduce Yoda's lightsaber. Truth be told, I genuinely don't know what he's going to choose. I think they're kind of setting up him to be with Mando. They got his little cockpit and he's got his armor. But like, I think Grogu kind of needs to be a Jedi.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that Luke gave him this choice of it's the only way for this to make sense is if you want to go back with the Mandalorian and take this armor, you can't become a Jedi because that will completely ruin your journey. Yeah. And, you know, I got this lightsaber for you. And if you're actually dedicated, we can work this out and you can become a very powerful Jedi if you work for many years and very hard. And he's like, so what do you choose? And then boom, cut to credits. Here's the thing. I don't know if I have an inkling that Grogu is going to go back with the Mandalorian.
He probably will.
I don't think he's going to be like, ooh, I need to be a Jedi. I think he's going to be like, you know what? I miss my bud. I'm going to go back and spend my life with him. Because I also think that, you know, from a marketing standpoint, if he does go with Luke the rest of the time, we're not really going to see Grogu again that much because he's just going to be training. And I think, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm are like, man, Grogu makes us a lot of money. I think we need, but I mean, like, truthfully, I think that is their thinking. So, I mean, in this moment right here, it's a very vital choice for like the future of this story of the whole Mandalorian era of, you know, what happens to Grogu. And I didn't know that we'd be getting this moment in the book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This is totally a Mando season 3 thing, but I digress. I think that Grogu is still suffering from the PTSD of, you know, what happened to him with the Jedi Temple back in Order 66. I think he's also kind of coming to terms with the fact that, man, I'm probably never going to see the Mandalorian again if I go through with this. And like all these doubts going through his head. I think Luke senses that, which is why he gives him this ultimatum of like, you can either be a Jedi or you can stop worrying about that Mando guy.
Right.
And, you know, I think that he is going to be like, you know what? Going back with the Mando.
Do you think we'll see that next episode, or do you think we'll see that in the start of season 3?
I was thinking about that as soon as it ended. I was like, man, they're going to wait. They're going to make its wait a year and a half to even see what he chooses. But yeah, man, I don't know if we are going to get that answer next week or not.
I hope this last episode is long, is a long one.
It's probably going to be, you know, like it's going to be another case where it's about an hour long, or probably like 58 minutes to.
This one was short. This one was 47. This is one.
And it didn't feel it.
Did not. No, I agree. At all,
which was a good thing because I wanted this episode to be 3 hours long.
Yeah.
But I think overall this episode had like gave me the most emotional ups and downs. And at this point, the fact that Boba Fett wasn't in it for more than 2 minutes
didn't really bother me
because
it's still a great episode.
Because let them tell us a story.
Yeah.
Let them like let the show.
It's only because of social norms do they have to put a title on it.
Yeah, but like let the show finish out. And I think in hindsight, we'll be like, oh, that's why we spent two episodes with Mando and Luke. I think because I think for people now to look at this episode and be like, oh, this isn't even the Book of Boba Fett anymore. I wanted this show to be a Boba Fett show. I think this is a Boba Fett show.
They told a good amount of Boba's story. You know? Like it's only two out of the seven so far.
Yeah. And I think we are getting an explanation next week as to why we spent so much time with him, because I think we might get a lead in at the end of this show. We might get a lead in to Mando season 3, which is why I think they needed to set up so much stuff for Mando in these last two episodes.
I wanted to ask, is the thing that was in the box from the beginning of the episode spice?
Yeah.
Was okay. I thought there was something else that they was like going to reveal that they cut away to. So I was kind of waiting for this like mystery reveal.
Well, whenever I saw that box, I was like, that suspiciously kind of looks like the lightsaber box from Maz's castle.
I thought so too. And I was like, what if it's like,
I was like, this, like the spice is coming out. I was like, wait, are we going to see like a little lightsaber?
Well, he says it's worth more than your whole town. And I was just like, well, what could be sold for that much? And I was like, I guess spice. But I expected a lightsaber. I thought it was going to be at first.
Do you think they ever, this is kind of like way off topic, but do you think we'll ever get that answer?
I hope so.
At this point, like I would have figured they would have like put that in a comic or a novel or something. Like, but here we are, you know, 7 years later, which is holy crap.
I know.
Force Awakens was seven years ago almost.
I know.
Time is an illusion.
This is even farther off topic. I was watching Dark Knight the other day and I was like, that movie's closer to being 20 years old than it is when it came out.
Yeah.
Horrible. Anyway,
it's about, I think it's 14 years old this year, right? Like this July. Anyway, completely off topic. But overall, do you have any final thoughts about this episode or any speculation as going forward with the finale?
We didn't talk about the scene, but I greatly appreciated the final concept art of it, but the Jawas having the crate dragon the concept
that was like a passerby thing.
Yeah, the concept art with the Mando's ship flying by, I really liked that image. I might try and pull that.
I mean, pull that from my personal collection.
No, it was really really cool. It was really really cool. It was a great episode.
Do you have any speculation going into next week? Or do you want to keep?
I think it's going to be all out war. I only really expect it to be that is like, this is it's game day. Like it's time to go. We're going to go after the Pikes. I expect it to just be all kinds of good, all kinds of awesome and rad.
Yeah. I will kind of be disappointed if like, because they've set this standard of Mando does not have to be, or Mando or Boba or anybody does not have to be with Luke and Grogu for us to see them in the show.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like I will be disappointed if like we get nothing even referencing them at the finale.
Yeah.
You know, like because for me, I mean, we always talk about this on the show, how like the Force and the Jedi is kind of like the bread and butter of Star Wars. Like it's the glue that holds Star Wars together. At least to me, that's how it is. It's like that's like the most interesting stuff to me. So, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, this show sucks if they're not in it next week. But like they've kind of set my expectations to be like, oh, this is what this show is. We're going to see them next week. But, you know, at this point, who knows? Because we thought we'd wouldn't even see, you know, we weren't even sure if we would see Grogu and Luke.
Didn't even expect to see Ahsoka or Cobb.
And those expectations were completely blown out of the water.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to look forward to next week, and I think we're gonna have a nice long discussion. This might be one where I just stay up to watch it.
Honestly. So,
I don't know yet though. But if you guys have thoughts on the episode, please make sure to leave those thoughts in our comments section or whatever. Do we even YouTube yet? I don't even know at this point, because we upload like what, once a week maybe? Once. We used to, but like before that we like stopped uploading for a couple months. I don't know, man. But if you have thoughts, make sure to tweet us or Instagram us or whatever, and you want us to talk about something maybe on a news episode, questions for us, make sure to leave those as well. But if you'd like to find us anywhere on the social medias, you can always do that on Instagram at Through Imperial Eyes Pod, Twitter at Imperial Eyes Pod, and YouTube, you can just search up Through Imperial Eyes Podcast. We'll pop up there. Jackson, where can they find
you? You can follow me on Twitter. It's Quaxon Scalene. It's Quaxon, scaling like the triangle. And then you can follow my photography Instagram, which is at Daleen Photography. It's Daleen_photography. Brandon, what about you?
And as always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter and on Twitter at Braidethalon, and see what I'm watching, see what I'm reviewing on Letterboxd at B Ledbetter, and see what I'm doing for work at my video job over at Vet19 on YouTube. And please don't be shy, hit up our Apple Podcasts, our Spotify, our Overcast, our Chrome, whatever you got, make sure to check us out. Yeah, whatever. On your iPod Shuffle, if you download our episodes and put us on there, make sure to leave.
We'll mail you a thumb drive if you subscribe to us.
Yeah, we'll put our episodes on a floppy and mail them to you. But
a raven will come to your home.
It really helps out the show if you leave those reviews and let us know what you think, and because it lets us know that you like what we're doing here.
You can't keep the raven though.
You can't keep the raven. We're gonna need that raven back.
Need that back.
Yeah, we miss Gerald. So please, whoever has Gerald, please send him back.
Send him home.
Send Gerald home, please. Please, whoever has Gerald, we miss him. Send our baby boy home. Man, we're really milking that joke. But please make sure to tune in next week for more Book of Boba Fett talk. And please tune in early next week on February 7th for the second annual Star Wars Podcast Day, which will be very fun. We have a really special episode coming out about that. But until then, and to talk about some more Star Wars, may the Force be with you.